The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 9, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob. What's up?
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Rachel. Coming up on today's show, the host of Buzz Burbank News and Comment, that podcast right there. Buzz Burbank is here today. Trump ordered federal agents to break asylum laws and to ignore judges.
Trump is crazy.
And I don't know why he's not already impeached for this. Is there word on this? I don't know. Tell me. Is he going to be impeached? I certainly hope so. Bill Barr is the lawyer version of Dick Cheney. We're going to talk about Barr's testimony from earlier today before the House Appropriations Committee. It's infuriating. And Trump thought a group of American Republicans were actually Israelis, some of whom voted for Barack Obama. I have no idea what that was all about other than the brainworms. It's the brainworms again. Plus, we've got music from Young Guns Silver Fox and CC Grace. Okay, let's talk about our Patreon page. On tomorrow's interview show, I'm going to be chatting with the legendary Eric Bollert from the Stephanie Miller Show and the Daily Coast. If you dig what you hear, please help support this completely independent podcast for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 per month. And depending on your subscription amount, we'll give you hours of weekly bonus content, including our post-mortem shows recorded after the end credits roll on our Tuesday and Thursday shows, along with our Friday after-party podcast and the 90-minute ultimate edition of this show without commercials. We're also posting all kinds of free content on our Patreon page, including our Wednesday interview show with Eric Bollert and people like Randy Rhodes, Malcolm Nance, John Fugelsang, Frank Conniff, Julian Barbary, Steven Weber, and the Frangelo Duo. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Can you name all the members of the cabinet?
Okay, let's drop it.
What?
I mean, I am not gonna take a test for you. I mean, if that came up in conversation...
We're conversing. Oh, no, the names of the cabinet have slipped my mind. Say, do you know them? Okay, don't name them for me. Just tell me if you know.
Yes, Aaron, I know the names of the cabinet.
Okay. All 12?
Yes.
There's only 10.
You're feeling good, aren't you?
I'm starting to, yeah. Hey, we may do capitals of the states next.
Bob Seska!
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show!
All right, it is the Trump crisis day 810, 574 days until the 2020 presidential election. We got music from Young Gun, Silver Fox, and CC Grace today. And oh, look, right over there, it's TV's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, hi, Bob. Hey, life's gotten complicated, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But I noticed you had a little trouble there.
Always.
And it's because things have gotten more complicated. Yeah. I must say, though, I really like what you've done with the place.
That's true. Thank you.
It really. But now, everybody, Bob and I are your acting hosts today. We're going to fill these positions until the president nominates permanent hosts who can then be confirmed by the Senate.
That's right.
Here for now.
Absolutely right. Well, welcome. I mean, if you're listening the very first time, we're now part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, or SLPN. I'm still trying to get the acronyms right. SLPN, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Of course, this is a Stephanie Miller Show thing, and everyone's gathered now. We're all going to hang together as opposed to hanging separately. That's the idea behind tethering all of these shows together, right?
I love the fact that this is a case where two networks have agreed to share you, and I think that's a wonderful thing. You don't see that a lot in podcasting, and I think it's fun to prove that it can be done, that podcasts, different shows, and even different podcast networks can peacefully and happily coexist.
Right, right.
I will say it's a little crowded in here. As you know, our country is full.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. No more room.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I should explain what's going on here. Now, our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows are now going to be part of Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Our music countdown show, our indie music countdown show, is going to be also presented on the Realm Network, hence what you were just saying just a second ago. And I'm also considering doing a monthly, I don't know, nerd culture. I'm trying to think of a great name for like a nerd superhero nerd movie show. Something along those lines. And I'm thinking maybe of just calling it that, the nerd superhero nerd movie show. That nerd might be, so, you know, now that I'm thinking out loud. Maybe I
can't think
that.
Of two guys more qualified to host. You're going to be hosting it, but I know one of your guests already. I think you've got the right nerds.
Yes, exactly. I think I'm going to have Mark Ronick back. Of course, we did a show like this. I don't know, what was it? Maybe a little more than a year ago, right after The Last Jedi came out. I had Mark on. I had my friend Josh Dobbin on, and we talked about Star Wars, the Episode 8, The Last Jedi, which everyone was talking about at the time. So we maybe do more of those, but I mean, the point being is that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, this show will be exactly the same as that it's always been. The only difference is we're adding this new affiliate, which is the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. So you can continue to listen however you've listened to the show. Like if you're into listening on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher, or if you go to bobsesca.com and listen there, you're still going to be hearing the show just the same as it's always been, except that now it will be affiliated with all of these other shows in a more structured way. Like I'm talking about Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour show, John Fugelsang's doing a show, Rude Pundit's doing a show, Randy Rhodes just started a show on the network too. Jody Hamilton is going to be doing From the Bunker on the network too. So it's a group of shows. While you can find them all in the same place at the permanent link once I think sexyliberal.com is going to be revamped, and that's where you're going to be able to find everything. But all of these shows, what we'll end up doing, the thread that connects all of the shows is not just the banner of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, but we're going to be selling advertising across all of the shows and sharing in the burden of getting lots of views for our advertisers that way. In the same way that, you know, when this show, when the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows were on the Realm Network, it was the same kind of thing where it was your Buzz Burbank News and Comment Buzz and the Mark and Lowell show and an entire slate of other shows. And we're sort of spreading the wealth around, so to speak.
That's right. That's right. No, it's a happy agreement, a happy arrangement, and yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And this is what I mean. Your explanation right there is proof that life has gotten a little more complicated. I can sum it up in just a very few words. Bob's on a different channel now.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, yeah. And this show you listen to on Tuesday and Thursday and also the Wednesday interview show now on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. And I'm still over on Realm.
Yep.
Please visit me there.
Yes.
And Bob will still be doing commentaries on my show.
Yes.
He's going to come over and do a music show. You're like Michael, what's his name? the morning host, the gap tooth football guy.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Anyway, he hosts.
When you lost me at football guy.
He hosts $10,000 Pyramid on ABC. Oh, he has a morning show on ABC. He does, I think, football over on Fox.
I don't know.
There are certain guys, you know, I don't know, Seacrest is one of them, but yeah, they're multi-network guys.
Yeah.
So you're in good company, I guess.
Yeah, I'm proud to be the Seacrest of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. The podcasting zone, Ryan Seacrest. I'm Bob. Call me Bob Seacrest. Thank you very much. If you're listening to the first time because you're just now discovering the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, my name is Bob. Hello. And my co-host on Tuesdays is this guy, Buzz Burbank, who I have known for 25, 30 years now. I started as an intern for Buzz in 1993 when we were all at WJFK in Washington, D.C., and we were all working on the syndicated Don and Mike radio show. And so Buzz and I became friends through that partnership, and we've kept in touch in the years since then.
Yep.
And when my previous co-host died... And that is why I just wanted to leave a gap of silence there. Like, what? Yeah. The previous guy died. And so I brought in Buzz for Tuesdays. And then for the Thursday show, It's Jody Hamilton from the Stephanie Miller Show, and also T-Rex David Ferguson, who I know from, I mean, he was a blogger on Fire Dog Lake going back 15 years. And then it was actually T-Rex who got me my job now writing for Salon.com. And so those two, we call them the Goth Ninjas. They're on our Thursday show and our Wednesday show. Yeah. And our Wednesday show that comes between Tuesday and Thursday, in case you're not familiar with the days of the week, is an interview show where it's just me talking to someone who I'm really, really interested in. That's essentially the qualifier for how you get on the interview show. If I'm interested in what you have to say, then you can be on the interview show. And so that's a lot of fun, too. And as I said at the top of the show, guys like Fugelsang and Eric Bollert's going to be on tomorrow. Randy Rhodes was on a couple of weeks ago. We had Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie on last week. So it's a variety of people on that particular Wednesday show. So, again, welcome. Thank you. And
congratulations. And
good luck to us all.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
No, change is always a little difficult, a little awkward, and I think everybody tends to resist it to one degree or another. But yeah. I have found it's usually a good thing.
Right. It always is. Always is. Even though I am just absolutely terrified. That's why I had to try a couple of times to start the show today, because I'm like, here's the first one. Here we go. And so I got a little shaky with my hands on the buttons.
That's good, though. That's a good kind of nervousness. That means you're going to get in there and really do it. And so that's a healthy thing.
So anyway, if you like the Stephanie Miller Show, and if you like that brand of sort of morning radio combined with outrageous political talk, you've come to the right place, because this show is exactly the same as the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm not Stephanie Miller, but I aspire to be. I sit next to Stephanie Miller and I admire her and I learn from her. And so that's how this show came about. So all of that said, Buzz, why don't we just dig into everything that's going on today?
They can't keep getting away with this.
They can't. And of course they do. And Trump in particular keeps getting away with it.
Here's what's on my mind. Here's what I could, and I have nothing else. I mean, I'm prepared. I'm ready to talk about anything.
Yeah.
But I have no agenda today except to say that when we first started working together like this on this show, I thought you were a little extreme, a little alarmist, and I thought, but I knew you were on, and I followed, and you have been prescient. You have been consistently right, and that has me breathless today that you have been so correct about the terrible place we're in now. You mentioned Trump in the opening there, pre-opening, Trump's lack of respect for the law, among other things, and everything we see going on here. I've brought something also new-ish to the table today that I hope we get a chance to talk about, because it's almost as important as what's going on with all these cabinet positions and particularly in Homeland Security.
Now, tell me what this is. Now, I'm completely intrigued. You fished me in. I'm ready to roll with this thing. What is it? What do you got?
Okay, it's a topic we're already familiar with to a degree. I mean, we never were until Trump was president, but emoluments.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen this reported much, but it is true, and I've found this, and I've been doing some research on this. The Justice Department, the Trump Justice Department, has just redefined emoluments.
Really?
Yes. Now, bear in mind, this takes place in the midst of lawsuits by D.C. and Maryland citing the emoluments clause against the president, and a lawsuit by over 200 members of Congress are part of a lawsuit about emoluments and this president.
Yeah.
So in the middle of that, Trump's Justice Department changes the rules. And the new rule says emoluments, and the whole thing, the founding fathers were terrified of the idea of foreign influence. They thought, there's going to be like a French party and a British party here in the U.S., and they wanted to be sure and keep foreign influence out of the country.
Sure.
Hence the emoluments clause, among other provisions. Emoluments are payments that aren't payments for the work that you do. They're payments that you get because of the office you hold or the job that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're banned by the Constitution,
yep,
thanks to the Founding Fathers' fear there. And Trump has, for example, just as an example, the Trump International Hotel in D.C., practically across the street from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign dignitaries stay there.
Yep.
The Saudis rented like 500 rooms over 3 months after Trump was elected.
Just amazing.
Yeah, and this is a way to, obviously, it's a way to curry favor with the president by lining his pockets. Now, by changing the definition of emoluments to not include money that is made in the sale of goods or services. So if Trump says, if Trump provides them with a hotel room and they pay him money, under the new Justice Department definition, that's not an emolument, even though it still influences the president of the United States.
Now, what's the justification? Yeah. What's the justification for that?
They're saying it's different. They're saying, you know, what they were talking about was selling influence. We're not selling influence. We're selling hotel rooms.
God damn it. Really? Are you serious?
Yes. See, and you see how, as quiet as it is, this story is every bit as huge as everything else we're going to be talking about this hour. You know, the whole undoing of our government. This is just part of that. You warned us of this, and I thought you were a little nuts. And now I know you were right on the money, and it terrifies me.
Yeah.
It's here. It's now. The thing you predicted is happening right now.
Yeah, and in fact, this guy, Bill Barr, the new attorney general, is, I think, and I was watching his congressional testimony this morning in the Appropriations Committee, and he was saying, well, it wasn't so much what he was saying, it was how he was saying it. And if you watched his confirmation hearings, you know his tone of voice. And just over the weekend, Kimberly and I finally got a chance to watch Vice, the Adam McKay movie about Dick Cheney.
Yes.
And it really struck me today with that context, with that movie in mind, how similar Bill Barr is to Dick Cheney. It's like Bill Barr can convince anyone of anything. And Dick Cheney, they did a scene about this in Vice where they said Dick Cheney can convince anyone of the craziest ideas just because he delivers it in a particular tone of voice. So for example, this is a brief scene from Adam McKay's movie Vice about Dick Cheney. This is Dick Cheney in a room in the Oval Office, in fact, with Gerald Ford and who else? Henry Kissinger is in the room, too. Oh, and Donald Rumsfeld, I think, is also in the room, played by Steve Carell. But this is Dick Cheney convincing Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger of something outrageous just through his tone of voice. And again, this is almost like a what-if scenario. This scene didn't literally happen this way, but I think you'll get the idea.
Come on, Henry, let's hear Dick out.
One of Dick Cheney's special superpowers was the ability to make the most wild and extreme ideas sound measured and professional.
Right.
What if on a unilateral basis, we all put miniature wigs on our penises and we walked out to the White House lawn and jerked each other off? So, like a puppet show, but much more enjoyable.
I do like a good puppet show.
I say we do it.
Henry Kissinger says, I do like a good puppet show.
Well, that was Henry.
that's great.
Captured him to a T.
But Buzz,
like a fantasy sequence, but it was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, was it good and terrifying. And, of course, it brought just flashbacks to everything I blogged about during that era. But
good
refresher,
though. I liked it for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the one thing that I was able to take away from it this time in terms of modern context, besides the unitary executive theory, which is a whole other situation, all other crisis with this president, is the idea that Bill Barr is very much like Dick Cheney on that front, where because he is so measured. I mean, it's weird today in the Appropriations Committee, because as Bill Barr was talking and members of Congress were talking to him and asking him questions, it's almost as if everyone took on that same hushed tone as Bill Barr. It's like he's sitting there going, yeah, I don't have to show you a goddamn thing, and I'll tell you exactly why, because I'm the attorney general and he's the president. And then so the Democrats are like,
Well, that's very nice, Attorney General Barr. Thank you for answering my question. I yield my remaining time.
It's like, oh my God, don't let him fool you. Yeah. Don't let him deceive you with that tone of voice. He's pulling a Dick with you. He's being Dick Cheney, and he's selling obnoxiousness. And obviously, this is going to apply when it comes to the Emoluments Clause. It applied in their discussions today about the Affordable Care Act and no longer defending that in court. And then, of course, the biggest issue he was asked about had to do with the Mueller report today.
Of course.
And in that process, he said, among other things, he refused to answer a question from Congresswoman Lowy about whether Trump has seen the report or been briefed on it. So he got a couple of questions like, okay, what are you going to redact? What are you going to take out? And he reiterates all of that. I've got four things, and I'm going to take those things out, and those are going to be redacted. Oh, thank you, Attorney General Barr. And so it's just a lot of that. And then Nita Lowy goes, well, did you show the report to the White House, or did you brief the White House on details of the report beyond what was in your March 24th memo? And his response was, nope, I've said everything I'm going to say about the Mueller report. Thank you very much. Good night. And, you know, it wasn't like he got up and ran out of the room. It wasn't like this.
Right. No.
But he
shut it down.
He shut down the whole thing.
I'll bet he's hell on wheels in a courtroom. Because seriously, because he's... From your description, I was busy writing stories today, but from your description, it sounds very lawyerly, very judicial, and manipulative. It is true that if you speak in a lower tone of voice, other people will lower their tones as well. And if you raise your voice, other people will raise their voices as well. You can actually steer them. William Barr clearly knows how to do that and took advantage of that and other little tricks today. This is very, very terrifying. And I, as my other maybe little piece of agenda that I want to bring today and on in this vein. Oh, by the way, you mentioned the redactions. And
yes.
People are concerned about seeing big pages of just black, you know. No, but good news from Attorney General Barr. It'll be color coded.
Oh, good. Hey, great. Yes. So instead of just black, like the entire thing being black,
it'll be a rainbow of colors. It'll be a rainbow of colors. Now, there'll be a different color for each of the four categories he's redacting. So some things will be redacted in red, and some will be redacted in black, and some will be redacted in green, or whatever they're going to do.
Rainbow of deception.
A rainbow of deception. And what concerns me is that it's going to be so pretty that people aren't going to realize how much of it is actually blacked out. And what I recommend is that somebody make a black and white copy of that so we can see how much black there really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're saying is the redactions are as calm and reassuring as Bill Barr's voice. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So we're going to be deceived by that. And I think that's a
lulled.
Lulled, that's a better word. But the thing is, I still don't believe we're actually going to see it. I think that at some point, Trump is just going to go, fuck it, we're not going to give them the report. Executive privilege, executive privilege, executive privilege. I mean, Barr didn't take that off the table today. He said, it hasn't been asked yet. I mean, no one has exerted executive privilege yet. But they could. And he was saying that to a certain extent, the onus is on him to designate parts of the Mueller report as falling under executive privilege, as well as the president, of course, because the president has, I think, basically handed that assignment off to Bill Barr. If you see anything that's going to damage my presidency, get the fuck out of the report. We don't want it in there. And so my concern is that Bill Barr has done that and maybe has disguised it as something else. I don't know. But there are so many details that we still don't know contained in the 400
Right. And, pages. You know, so once again, we're sitting here speculating about all the different ways this could go and how we might respond to it, whatever. I read a couple of the opinions of a couple of legal scholars this morning.
Yeah.
And they won me over to this point of view. And this is grim. You know, we talk about whether Republicans will ever live up to their legislative responsibilities here. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm reading from these legal scholars, we may soon be asking the same question of the Democrats. And here's Here's why. The opinions of these two different legal scholars is at this point, because of legal precedent rulings and other things, because of the current situation, the only way that we're going to see the Mueller report, the only way that we're going to see inside those grand jury proceedings is with an impeachment hearing. And Democrats right now are loath to have an impeachment hearing. I mean, majority of them, the leadership, certainly remember Pelosi, who at that moment, I was trying to support, was saying he isn't worth it. We're not going to do impeachment. What we've learned has changed since then.
Yeah.
And I think she may have to reconsider that question. If she doesn't, then Democrats will be as shirking of their responsibilities as Republicans are, because according to these two different legal scholars' opinions I read today, the only way we're going to get to all of the Mueller report and get to the grand jury transcripts is through an impeachment hearing. Impeachment hearings are considered to have the same standing as a grand jury legally. So they can, they're the only, an impeachment hearing is the only entity that can ask for and get material from another grand jury. There are court precedents for that.
Yeah.
And the Watergate certainly is a precedent for that. How did they get the report in Watergate? How did they get the grand jury testimony in Watergate? Through an impeachment hearing. And that is our only remaining choice, as much as we tried to avoid it. So now the Democrats have to ask themselves, do we commit political suicide by possibly by pursuing this impeachment thing? Because the country doesn't want that, apparently. There's a great political risk, certainly, with 2020 coming up. I don't know if there's the will and the unity in the Democratic Party to push for that which is necessary right now. And so, you know, we talk about Republicans not living up to their responsibility. Democrats are about to be put to that same test, as impeachment is their only remaining option.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I wrote a salon piece that should be coming out sometime tomorrow morning, in fact, about this very subject. And I'm glad you brought it up with impeachment, because I feel like I'm right there with you. I feel like they have to do it. I mean, this isn't a political calculation. This is a long term calculation in terms of the House of Representatives, and specifically the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, standing up and saying, we are not going to allow the imperial presidency to metastasize.
Right.
And that's what by not pursuing impeachment, by not pursuing actual accountability for the president, where he is taken down a notch, where he is yanked back by the Constitution. If that does not happen, I mean, my God, can you imagine the degree of crime that would have to be committed in order to sometime in the future warrant impeachment? I mean, if not guy, who? I mean, I hate to use that kind of cliched terminology to describe this situation, but it's true. I mean, the list of things is so astronomically long, we can't even begin to start listing them because there are so many things. And the problem becomes, how do we let history know? How do we let future Americans, how do we let posterity know that this is unacceptable behavior for the president? I mean, even down to close to 10,000 lies, Buzz. I mean, I think they're just over 9,000.
That which doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And what I'm saying there is oftentimes when a body gets a disease, once that disease is treated and cured or faded away, the body has a certain immunity to that disease in the future. After Watergate, this U.S. body developed some immunity, stronger immunity than it had before, and I believe that it will again. We have to, though, as quickly as possible, free ourselves from the grip of this. All of the problems, we could sit here, we could talk and talk, and we could sit here all day and list all of the things that are wrong, but it really just boils down to one word, doesn't it? Trump? Isn't it? Doesn't it all just get down to him at that point? I mean, sure, we got other problems, and we can absolutely address those. In fact, we could probably address those if he'd just move off to one side.
Yeah.
If he would just get out of the way, I think we could. And you know, I'm very concerned about the state of the nation and the future of the nation right now. And I think let's put out the fire.
Yeah.
Let's put out the fire. And you were saying about history and all that. Right now, I mean, the only way we're going to solve this crime, the only way we're going to see the Mueller report and see that grand jury testimony is if there is an impeachment hearing legally based on precedent and ruling. That's the only thing left. That's the only thing because this the gambit that the Democrats are on now, as good an idea as it seemed at the time, apparently isn't going to work. There because there was a court ruling Friday in a totally unrelated case from many years ago that basically said, no, you can't get at grand jury testimony even after all the other people are dead. So grand testimony that's sealed is sealed. There's only one way to open it, and that's through an impeachment hearing like Watergate.
Yeah, and in fact, Bill Barr said today that he has no intention to request that testimony from the grand jury. So that's going to be redacted, all of it. And in fact, what we know, and I think what we can safely assume, is that so much of that testimony is going to be damaging to Donald Trump. And in fact, I think we did get some story today or this week about that, and from CNN. And witnesses are really concerned about the release of that grand jury testimony because it's going to show a lot of people who Trump thinks is loyal to them turning against him when the shit hits the fan inside the grand jury. So under questioning, I think there are a lot of witnesses who are like, please, please, for God's sake, we don't want this Trump. We don't want to be the subject of Donald Trump's tweets for the next 10 years, for God's sake, which is probably what would happen to them if he ever gets wind of what those people testify. And there's an actual story. I mean, CNN actually reported on this. There is a serious concern by these witnesses. Yeah, they say they cooperated. They had to tell the truth. And the quote is, he is going to go bonkers. That's an exact quote. And so that's why. Yeah. I mean, that's why it'll never see the light of day. Because this, for Bill Barr, it's not about what the law dictates. Well, it's about what his new boss is dictating. And his new boss doesn't want him to unseal these things.
But it could see the light of day. Congress has that power if it has the balls to do it. If the Democrats have the fortitude to take this politically risky step of launching impeachment proceedings. So the Democrats in Congress have to ask themselves now, which is more important to us, our victory in 2020 or saving the country?
Yeah.
And if they have to choose, maybe they don't have to choose. Maybe there's a way to do both. There's one of them, though, that needs to be done right away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and it's just, it would be as weak of Democrats. I'm sorry to say that. I didn't expect to say this. But it would be, at this point, as weak of Democrats as we're seeing in Republicans not to act.
And again, they have to act. The crimes here and the things that rise, maybe not rise to the level of violating criminal statutes, but which are behavioral things that are unbecoming of the president, embarrassing to the nation, destroying alliances. I mean, the list goes on and on. So we've got a variety of things to work with. I should note too that Bill Barr did mention today in the hearing in the Appropriations Committee that Jerry Nadler can get that grand jury testimony unredacted. And so it's just a matter of Jerry Nadler, whose Judiciary Committee would launch the impeachment process to go forward with that. And so it's going to be up to Jerry Nadler. And so hopefully Jerry Nadler, who, by the way, Donald Trump now refers to as Fat Jerry. So, you know, if Jerry Nadler was looking for motivation to throw down along those lines, like, I'm going to go after that grand jury testimony. He certainly got it because Donald Trump's already making fat jokes about.
He's been mad at Nadler he's been mad at Nadler since the 80s over some real estate deal that didn't go through for him. We've reached emergency status.
Yep.
We've reached a point where this emoluments clause is being circumvented. They're finding a way around the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That the part of it that prohibits foreign influence on a president or other high official in the federal government. And at the same time, all the cabinet secretaries are being replaced by temporaries who have not been vetted by Congress and who are only there because they're loyal to Trump and who know what happened to the last person in that job who disagreed with him. Mm-hmm. And so what you have is autocracy. At this point, this is the horrible moment that Bob has been predicting for 2 years at least now. Mm-hmm. It's arrived. It is upon us now. So we may have gotten away with not pursuing impeachment up to this point. But I come to you today saying This is the time. We cannot afford, with the institutions of government crumbling, with what Mitch McConnell is doing over in the Senate. Things are, I've had, you know, we've had bad presidents before. We've had dumbish presidents before. Yeah. We've had crookedish presidents before. We've had bad presidents. We've had presidents who weren't terribly effective. We've had bad presidents. I've seen them. We've had presidents with whom I philosophically disagreed because they were of another political persuasion, mm-hmm. Whose philosophies I don't subscribe. That's all normal stuff. I didn't mind any of that stuff. That's the way it's supposed to work. This is different. This is democracy. I know I sound like a raving lunatic at this point, but this is democracy.
You do not. You do not. You sound exactly the way you ought to sound.
This is democracy crumbling before our very eyes, and it's no longer, as Bob has talked about, something that might happen. It's happening now.
Yep.
And that's why immediate action is, and based on what I read this morning, impeachment's the only way to go. So good night, everybody. Drive carefully.
are you sure you didn't read my Salon article before I submitted it? Because I was saying this exact goddamn thing about this whole situation. And it's required. It's mandatory. And it doesn't even matter if he's not going to get convicted in the Senate. The process has to begin. And in fact, I would suggest, and this is kind of a bold remark to make, this is a bold, bold prediction, is that I think once a lot of the evidence were to come out in a Senate trial, again, we're talking about public evidence, and all of that evidence compressed into a short period of time in which it's all presented on the Senate floor with John Roberts presiding over a trial, that could change a lot of minds, and maybe enough Republican minds to get a conviction on impeachment charges. So, I mean, we're talking about a process that not only needs to happen from an historical point of view and from a rule of law point of view, but also from the perspective of, you know what, there's this propaganda network out there called Fox News Channel that's been conveniently avoiding the reporting of a lot of these details and a lot of evidence, that once it does come out in a setting that is as highly publicized as an impeachment trial, mm-hmm. then I think a lot of people could end up turning. So don't count the conviction as being something that'll never happen. I think that it's still an open question whether he can be convicted. However, if he's not convicted, it doesn't matter. It has to go into the record. It has to go into the congressional record that all these things he's been accused of, and while they may have not been convictable crimes because of the mm-hmm. political makeup of the Senate, they are still crimes nevertheless, and per the opinion of the House of Representatives.
This is another thing that terrifies Pelosi and Democrats, mm-hmm. Is that they feel it's better not to try an impeachment than to try one and fail, to attempt one. I shouldn't mix the word try into that sentence. They don't want to risk attempting an impeachment and failing at it. They think that's worse than not attempting the impeachment at all. I think that's wrong. I think it because of this emergency that we've just outlined here, I think the time for waiting is over. There was a time where that made sense. There was a time where maybe. Yep. Yeah, we'll wait for the Mueller report. Yeah. You know, or some other thing. We can't wait any longer. Yep. This is the place is on fire, and we either call the fire department or we don't. But we have reached a critical point in our nation's history. Right here, you are witnessing it live right now.
When you say it like that, I feel like we should be excited, like as if we're reporting to you live from this amazing event. And
no, you know, the events, Bob, the events of the last few days, yesterday, I was aghast, breathless at the replacement of all the autocracy, the replacement of the cabinet secretaries for yes men who will do what he says, even when he tells them to break the law, which he does, as you also mentioned in your opening there. You have that one day. So I barely get over that. I get out of bed this morning and then I find this emolument story where we've changed the meaning of, you know, what's interesting is the dictionary definition of emoluments hasn't changed.
No,
but over at the Justice Department, it has a different meaning today. And the point is, this is just, they're changing all the rules. This is completely crooked, out of control, and it just absolutely has to stop now.
Yeah, the time is now. And by the way, there are children freezing in cages under a goddamn overpass. You know, how long do we have to wait? Yeah, I get it. The election's just around the corner. It's 20 months away, the election. Yeah,
for those kids, imagine that.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel had a You know, sometimes the funniest lines are also painful. But yeah. he had a what I thought was the best line so far, and he said, now that Christian Nielsen is gone, somebody's got some big cages to fill.
Yeah. God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And this couldn't get any worse, because now the president, on top of everything else that's impeachable, the president is instructing federal agents to commit crimes at the border. And we're going to dig into that in just a second here. But you know what, Buzz? I'm sure it's already started.
Is this a commercial break?
This would be an actual commercial break.
I wouldn't normally throw you off and ask like that, but I just wanted the audience to know that this is their chance to wait for their windmill to recharge their batteries.
There you go. Well, here's the deal. Of course, it's already started to happen for you in Florida, where the weather's starting to warm up. And it happened last night here in the D.C. area, because I was just, as soon as I sat down on the edge of the bed, ready to go to bed, I said, you know what? It's going to be hotter than hell. And thank God I've got my hollow pillow tonight, because that hollow pillow stays cool all night long while giving my head, neck, and shoulders perfect support night after night. Hollow pillows, of course, breathe and stay cool. Most importantly, they conform perfectly to my head, neck, and shoulders for a truly restful night's sleep. Hollow pillows, Buzz, are filled with natural buckwheat hulls, hence hollow pillows. And they're, of course, eco-friendly. They don't give off gases, and they don't collapse under your giant head. Under my giant head. I got a gigantic head. And I lay it down on the pillow, and, of course, the whole thing gives away.
I've had mine for like 2 years now, and it's the same size and shape that it was when I got it. I love it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And the ability to be able to sculpt and mold it to however exactly you want it is so convenient, rather than something that's just an amorphous blob. You can't deal with it. But with hollow pillows, you can create just the perfect support, the perfect coolness for your head and body. Of course, the buckwheat hulls are milled in American farms before they go into hollow pillows, pre-shrunken, certified organic, unbleached cotton twill casing, all right here in the U.S. of A. And you can adjust the fullness of the hollow pillow by removing or adding more hulls. I have not done that yet. I don't know about you, Buzz, but
I tried it. I took some out. I put them back. I liked it just the way it was.
Yeah, I'm afraid to screw with it. So I haven't touched the number of hulls in the pillow there, but you can do that through the zipper that's covered for comfort, so you're not going to scratch your face on the zipper. I'm so happy with mine. I'm proud to give it my personal endorsement, and proud that the percentage of the profits are donated to the Nature Conservancy. Hollow pillows are available in three different sizes: small, standard, and king, just for your bed size. And right now, depending on the size, you can save up to $20 on each additional pillow with fast free shipping. But you can only get that deal by going to hollowpillow.com/BOBC. Again, that's hollowpillow.com/BOBC. Say hello to a healthy and restful night's sleep, and wake up as cool as the other side of the pillow. Thank you for supporting this brilliant company and this show at hollowpillow.com/BOBC.
The Bob Seska Show. Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yeah, welcome back today. This is my favorite new band. It's an indie band called Young Gun Silver Fox. I never gave these guys their proper free show publicity here on the show. We used this on the after party a couple of weeks ago, and I completely forgot to include it on the Tuesday show. So that's why you're hearing it again, even though it's already been on the Indie Music Countdown. But I just love this. I love the 1970s flavor of it. Don't you, Buzz? It's got that...
I do, and I am consistently blown away by the consistently high quality of the music that you're getting. This is all great stuff.
It really, really is. So this album is called AM Waves. The song is called Midnight in Richmond, and I love it. Every single song of this album is stellar. And it's
nice sound.
Makes me feel like I'm 8 years old in the back of my parents' car going on a road trip and listening to the radio. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, that's good road music too.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So lots more indie music to come. If you want to submit your indie recordings and so on, go to bobseska.com/music, and thank you in advance. Okay, what are we going to get to next here? Let's see. Oh yeah, you know what? I got to talk about this real quick, Buzz, and we'll get back into the other more dire and stressful materials. But Trump spoke to the Republican Jewish Coalition the other day, and this was an amazing thing to behold. Only because it further emphasized the fact that Donald Trump is unfit to continue being president. I think he is cognitively out to lunch. I think the brain worms have finally crossed the Maginot line, and they're advancing forward at a rapid rate, taking up more and more of whatever was left of Donald Trump's gray matter and turning it into Swiss cheese. Here at this, again, Republican Jewish coalition. So these are American citizens who happen to be Republican and happen to be Jewish, and they have all gathered together to hear Donald Trump speak. Well, instead of addressing them as, you know, Americans, Donald Trump automatically assumed that they were all Israelis.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every Jew is an Israeli Jew, right?
Yeah, he looked out and saw a sea of Jews and decided to part them. A minority of Jews are Republican. It's a solid minority. I don't remember the numbers. I think it's maybe 40%. It's between 20 and 40. I think it's 40% maybe are Republican. And so they're not the majority of their faith in this country politically.
Yeah.
But they exist. And he chose this venue to say some incredibly crazy things.
That is true, including he referred to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as your prime minister.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is your prime minister, Americans. Yes. American Republicans, by the way.
That's okay. Bibi's telling Israelis that Trump's their president, so.
Jesus.
Fair is fair, I guess.
So, I mean, I'm laughing only to keep from going, the president is losing his mind day by day. It gets worse and worse and worse.
It's the windmills. It's the windmills.
It's the windmills.
The windmills. The windmills of his mind.
Yeah. Has anyone made the observation that the reason he hates wind turbines so much is because of the wind, that the wind just wreaks havoc with his hair and his clothing and everything that has to do with Trump?
Could that be it. Somebody imagined like a Marvel Comics imagining of his fear that perhaps his parents were killed by a slow-moving fan. You know, they thought maybe
that was one theory
I read. There are funny people out there.
You know, whatever. Like, oh no, here goes my hair. I'm doomed now. It's those goddamn turbines causing wind cancer.
He's more used to giving than receiving.
There it goes. Now my hair is going to look like an upside down jellyfish. Oh God. So anyway, but he said this too. He was still talking to the same group of American Republicans, members of the Republican Party, Americans. Right. He said, if implemented, the Democrats' radical agenda would destroy our economy, cripple our country, and very well could leave Israel out there all by yourselves. It can't do that.
Way to tie it into the audience, Don.
Oh, my God. So goddamn stupid. It's not a matter of dumb. This is a matter of brain damage. This is a matter of a guy who is maybe sleeping. He's 72 years old, first of all, sleeping maybe 4 hours a night, doing nothing but eating hamburgers all day long and watching television, screaming into the internet. You know, obviously at some point. Oh, yeah. By the way, also popping cognitive enhancers like Skittles, whether it's Provigil or Adderall, or, you know, Randy Rhodes thinks he's a straight up meth head, you know, like he's smoking meth and then tweaking his VCR and talking to people.
I'm picturing him in an undershirt in a trailer.
You know? That's right. He's got a visor and those multicolored parachute pants or something, you know, just like completely decked out, maybe like Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. Because he's still the has
his, I think those are his teeth. So I'm gonna guess. I'm not gonna go with the meth theory, but I like that we're thinking.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it could be. It probably isn't, because I don't know who his dealer would be in the White House. But you know, Stephen Miller probably.
Stephen Miller. We both went to the same place.
That's right. Of course, Stephen Miller is enabling everything with Donald Trump, including all of this. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, in fact, wasn't there some reporting along these lines, Buzz, that Stephen Miller's actually behind the purge that's happening at DHS?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Stephen Miller, and frequently forgotten but still very much there, John Bolton is very much on this page also. Stephen Miller's been kind of the lead, and Bolton's been kind of his deputy when it comes to hateful racism, fascist policy, and those are your two guys, and these are the guys who've been hammering Trump. It was... Miller, who went whining to Trump about Christian Nielsen saying no, and about the ICE director telling him no, he couldn't do something because it was illegal. What kind of obedience is that if your underlings tell you they can't do something because it's illegal?
Yeah, no shit.
And so they're out, you know, because maybe we can get somebody in there who, you know, doesn't mind if it's illegal.
And that
is where our government is, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. This is how far we have fallen in this short a time. And, really, the Trump supporters are dug in. They're blind all of this. Their fingers are in their ears saying, la, la, la. They're not buying or paying attention. We got a serious problem here. This is a breaking point for our country.
It really is. Yeah, my opinion too. And in fact, anyone who is on board with that, we all have to support our members of Congress and encourage them.
Yes,
that if they pursue this as an impeachment process, that we will have their backs. I think that's the most important thing that we can do as citizens, because if they don't feel like they've got popular support behind them, they're going to be more inclined to say, you know what? Maybe it isn't worth it. Maybe we should walk away from this.
I thought you were headed there when you talked about Trump addressing the sea of Jews. What you didn't mention is while he was speaking to the Jewish Republicans,
the Sea of Jews,
he actually repeated what he had just said in Calexico, California, a couple of days before, and that was, our country is full. That didn't really set well with all of the Republican Jews in the audience, in that some of them remembered in 1939 when the U.S. turned away an ocean liner full of Jewish refugees saying, no, go back, turn around, go back home, turn around. So turn around now. The words, so turn around, a quote from Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I'm sure that came down from Stephen Miller. I'm sure that was Stephen Miller's talking point. Like, just tell them that we're closed for business. We're not going to do anything else. And by the way, just a point of order, the title of today's show is not going to be Sea of Jews. I'm not going to have our first show with the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network be named Sea of Jews. No. So I just wanted to throw that out there too.
That'll be our secret subtitle.
Yes, exactly. That's what we'll code it. That'll be the code name behind the scenes. You know,
but my fear is, so you got Trump undermining government. We got the emoluments thing. We got the ripping apart the agencies and stuff. And then you have him standing in front of an audience of Jewish Republicans repeating what Nazi leaders were saying in the 30s.
Yep.
No room for foreigners. Germany is full. That's a quote. That's a quote from the 1930s from a Nazi leader in Germany in the 1930s. And you have Trump using these exact same words now about an ethnic group of people. If you don't see the similarity here, you need glasses.
Yeah.
And when you add that sort of Hitler-esque quality to what else is going on with him taking apart the U.S. government, this is an emergency now. If impeachment, as these scholars have informed me, is the only option at this point, we cannot start it soon enough.
Right. And especially knowing what we discovered yesterday through this reporting from Jake Tapper at CNN, which is that Donald Trump is ordering federal agents at the border to not only ignore asylum laws, but to also ignore court orders about the family separation policy.
Yes,
there's an injunction. He can't keep getting away with it. That's one thing for sure. One thing we know.
Right.
But at the same time,
he fired the ICE director because he wouldn't break the law. He fired Christian Nielsen because she wouldn't break the law.
Right.
And then he ordered border agents to break the law and, as you said, ignore the order of judges. Clearly, this man has no respect for the rule of law.
Yeah.
Among his other lovely qualities.
Right, he's such, you know what, he's such a bouquet of roses normally. I mean, why this is bouquet, so right. out of yeah, so out I'm of left
smell
field
it from here.
So but I mean, the fact is that this is, to me, this is a massive abuse of power. This is Donald Trump saying, you know what, I'm the
impeachable.
That's absolutely impeachable. I am the unitary executive. I am the imperial president. If I do it, then it's not against the law. I mean, he is embracing Richard Nixon's unitary executive theory, or at least Nixon's version of it,
with both of his arms. And he wants this to be the case with him, where he feels as though he's above the law. No court can tell him what to do. On top of this, most of the old guard inside the Trump administration has been replaced or has left.
This latest purge are all people, mostly people selected by John Kelly, the main grown-up in the group. Mm-hmm. And now the main grown-up and now the grown-up's kids are being taken out. And now it's the idiots are running the asylum at this point.
So we're finding out that Trump is being encouraged more than ever to be Trump. Trump be Trump. And that's what's happening inside the White House. Hence all of these things.
Don't you remember that part of the Constitution that said, let Trump be Trump?
That's right.
Where were you?
Shit, I slipped
my mind. By the way, the Unitarian Church is on line 6, and they'd like you to stop saying unitary executive.
That's true. But, I mean, in this CNN piece by Jake Tapper, my God, a senior Trump official is quoted as saying, the president refuses to understand that the Department of Homeland Security is constrained by the laws. This is, again, a senior Trump official.
Uh-huh.
All right. There's also a quote in here from another senior administration official who says he just wants to separate families.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's fun.
Yeah. So what we've discovered in all this buzz is that the art of the deal, as it stands with Donald Trump as president, at least not as real estate, whatever he does with real estate, but as the president, the art of the deal is just be a dick. I mean, you threaten people and intimidate people into doing what you want them to do.
I said this weeks and weeks ago on this show, and I'm sure I've said it more than once.
Yeah.
That's what his base likes about him.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? The old way hasn't worked. Let's vote for a dick.
That's right.
They like the fact. They know, and no, polling has shown, interviews with Trump supporters have shown, they know he's lying. They know he's wrong about stuff. They don't care. They like the attitude. They like the swagger. They like the bully. They like the a-hole. They like this. This is what they signed up for, and they're with him all the way.
Yeah,
you know, they're just it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
There's a cultural identity thing that goes on with Donald Trump and his core supporters who they relate to.
Which is
to,
ironic, right? Yeah. Because they're never staying at Mar-a-Lago.
That's absolutely true. And the other thing is, the other explanation for that buzz is defined in that John Mulaney piece where he's talking about a horse loose in the hospital. There's a horse in the hospital.
I loved that.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, you know, when I talk to people who support the horse, I say, why did you let the horse in the hospital? And they go, well, it's because the hospital was mismanaged. That's why you let the horse in the hospital? Because it's mismanaged. Okay. Well, that makes no sense. What we're witnessing now, and I feel like this every time I look at the latest poll numbers, is I feel like there is a mass delusion that is happening in this country.
Oh, absolutely. They've locked into what they want to believe, and they've stopped listening at that point. They've tuned everything else out. This is on track. We got our guy. Everything is good. He's a tough guy, so we don't have to worry about those wimpy liberals, you know. So they're happy. They've just locked everything else out, and they're moving forward. They are in the minority, but it frightens me how large that minority is and how divided the country is and will still be long after Trump is gone.
Yeah, well, I hope. Good God. I mean, if you believe Michael Cohen,
says who?
Who said that there's no way Donald Trump is going to relinquish power if he loses the election, then we may be stuck with this guy. And again, this takes us right back around, Buzz, to our demand for impeachment.
I want to say something about that not leaving office thing. I think it's entirely possible that he would try such a thing.
Yeah.
But... And I've hinted at this and wanted to believe this before, but we're seeing more evidence of it now.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump left Calexico, California, after he told the border agents to tell the migrants to go away, there was no room, and he told them to tell the judges that we can't follow your orders because we have no room to store these people. After he instructed these border agents to break the laws in these ways and left Calexico, they went to their supervisors, concerned, and rightfully so, whereupon their supervisors informed them that if you follow the president's directions, you will be breaking the law and you will be held accountable for it.
Yep.
We recommend you continue following the law. And the border agents went back to work. And likewise, we've seen a couple of other instances of this.
Yeah.
We've heard about little groups inside the White House or individuals inside of the White House, who just are not going to let him do certain things. And I just don't think, I think when it comes to, if Trump tried to stage a coup, many cops would support him. But the vast majority of cops would not.
No.
Many soldiers would support him, but the vast majority of soldiers, in my opinion, would not.
Yeah.
Even conservatives, because I think there are enough patriots among us, be they civilian or military, that somebody's not going to follow orders. You know, and we hear about Nazi Germany as an example. Well, he said he was just following orders.
No.
And you're going to get some of that. You're seeing it in the Trump administration right now. But that doesn't speak for the rest of us. That doesn't mean everybody's following orders,
yeah,
because
yeah.
Everybody isn't. So those who are concerned that Trump will try to stay or try to stage a coup or try to use the military and the bikers in the way that he's threatened, if that concerns you, keep in mind that that doesn't mean they're going to obey him. Some will.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that's a battle he can win. And that might not stop him from waging it. But I hope that we can all find some assurance in knowing that not everybody is going to obey the president, no matter how bizarre his grab for power might be.
Well, that may be true. It ultimately comes down to whether or not Donald Trump believes it to be true. If he believes that the military is going to back him in some sort of usurpation of the election
right.
results, then he'll proceed along those lines. In fact, he's already starting to lay the groundwork for a fraudulent election now to lead up to the possibility that he may end up losing. And so that's why I think, again, going back to our ongoing theme today of impeachment, again, everyone's saying, well, there's going to be an election and we'll hold him accountable with the election. Well, first of all, the election is 20 months away. The election is, how many days did I say it was? 574 days away. Can those kids remain in that that prison under the overpass for
that long?
And
how many days did it look at what Trump's done in the last 14 days?
Yes,
just isolate it to the last 14 days and tell me there's no way that you can't start impeachment hearing.
Extrapolate that out to another 500 days.
This has gone on too long now.
Now
you've worn my patience.
On that note, we will take one break and come back and wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring. Walking in the dark.
Yeah, CeCe Grace.
That's the time.
Covering Roberta Flack right here. This is another amazing album. This is all cover versions of other songs, of existing songs. And one's better than the other. I mean, it just keeps going and going. In fact, strangely enough, I'm not a fan of the song Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett.
okay.
But CeCe Grace does one amazing cover of that song on this album.
She could make the phone book sound sexy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. This is an album called So Far Away. Again, it's CeCe Grace. Link in the description below. It's So Far Away, Songs of the 70s. So they're all cover songs from the 1970s. That's the theme.
I would know a little something about that, yes.
All right.
Roberta Flack was, as you said, the original artist. She was, I believe, discovered by Clint Eastwood, who used her song First Time Ever I Saw Your Face in his movie Play Misty for Me. If you like radio stuff, I highly recommend. In fact, it's just a good movie. I recommend it to everybody.
Yeah.
And Jessica Walter, who's amazing in that movie as well. But if you want to go back and see a great movie from the 70s about a DJ, that's a good movie to see. Play Misty for Me.
And, oh, man, everything. There's, like, literally everything about that movie is awesome. Not the scenery is awesome. Of course, Carmel and the whole, Monterey area of Northern California is beautiful. Clint Eastwood is great in it. It's an amazing and stressful and horrible story, but everything turns out kind of okay.
I had a very similar experience when I was in radio, and there was a crazy woman involved in it. Only my story took place in Kansas, so it wasn't nearly as scenic as, say, Carmel.
Yeah, that's true. But I love the line where she approaches him at that he's having a lunch with the syndicator or whatever, and she comes running up and she's pestering him. And he goes, "Get her out of here, man!" I love that.
Lot of great scenes in that movie. It's suspenseful. It's sexy. It's fun. It's a good movie. I highly recommend it.
It is. Play Misty for Me. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a big question for you, Buzz. And the question is, why the hell hasn't Stephen Miller been subpoenaed by Congress yet? It seems like by now, with the House of Representatives controlled by the Democrats, that people would have Stephen Miller up to the Hill just for a talking to, if not an official public testimony. He's like, "What the hell are you doing, you ghoul, with your lifeless doll eyes, your shark, your shark
so many
eyes,
yeah.
Lifeless eyes, right. Black eyes, like a doll's eye.
Doll's eyes. Yeah, so many supervillains and so few hearings.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten to him yet. They need to get to him quickly because, as we were discussing a moment ago, he's the main driving force, I think, but behind the Return to Cruelty tour that Trump is on right now.
The Return to Cruelty
tour. The Return to Cruelty tour. featuring him and Stephen Miller, as a matter of fact. And also featuring John Bolton.
That's exactly. So, like, Stephen Miller is the opener. And then Michael Bolton. Oh, you're saying John Bolton. I thought I heard that as Michael Bolton. So that would be a weird sandwich of performance. Yeah.
I was going to say John Bolton playing the saxophone or something, but I didn't.
First up, it's Stephen Miller. Yay, Stephen Miller goes off. Then Michael Bolton appears. And it's like, a minute.
Stephen Miller will do Fly Like an Eagle. And
God. Well, on top of Stephen Miller, who, God damn it, that guy.
I wish something would fall on top of Stephen Miller.
Yeah, please, for God's sake. It's just a house. Speaking of Kansas, can something please fall on Stephen Miller? Well, Stephen Miller aside, there's this other story that I think is maybe my favorite story of the last 24 hours. And there's so many awful stories. It's nice to wrap up with something that's
good. Yes.
It's entertaining, don't you think?
Something light. Yes, I like that.
And as it turns out, New York lawmakers are getting ready to introduce a bill this week to allow the Department of Taxation and Finance in New York State to release state tax returns requested by congressional committees. So this is such fantastic news for those of us who want to see Donald Trump's tax returns, at least his state tax returns. Because committing some sort of tax evasion with his federal returns, I can only imagine what he's doing with his state returns.
This would be every bit as good, Bob, because all of his banking is in New York State.
Yep.
All of his businesses are headquartered or mostly located in New York State, more specifically New York City. And so they certainly have this jurisdiction, and they are as well equipped. Don't underestimate the law enforcement establishment of the state of New York. They are as well equipped as the feds are, and they have access to as much or more evidence than the feds do. So this might very well be a way to go. just damn it, somebody do something fast.
Yeah, I know. And it's like Jerry Nadler's giving, I think, Bill Barr until May 2nd to produce right. the yes. Mueller yeah. report. Barr said today that it's going to come out sometime within the week. I will be very surprised. At the very least, what we're going to get from that Mueller report is a shitload of redactions. It's going to
be colorful. Yeah. It'll be like the middle of the Wizard of Oz. It'll be really pretty.
It'll also be like Hemingway's Old Man in the Sea, because by the time we actually see it, it's going to be picked to shit by Bill Barr and his Sharpie marker or his multicolored Sharpie markers. But, you know, one thing I want to talk about coming up on the post-mortem show here in just a few minutes on our Patreon page is I want you to talk me down off a ledge about Ted Koppel. There was a story.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. No.
Do you know what jump. I'm talking about?
No, just go ahead and jump.
OK, great. Thank you. Well, thank you for nothing.
Okay, we can talk.
Well, I missed this story. It's like mid-month last month.
I know. I couldn't believe this. But yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because it's now as important as ever. And it was triggered by a conversation I had with my dad. My dad is a Trump supporter. Uh-huh. And we had lunch today, and he said that he was watching. You can imagine the look on my face when I heard this news. And my dad was watching Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox News Channel with Mark Levin. And so he was saying that, you know, there was this former CBS reporter, Lara Logan, on there, and she was really complimenting Ted Koppel about his criticism of the news media. Oh. And I was going, that's weird. That's a weird combination of people. Mark Levin, someone from formerly of CBS News, and complimenting Ted Koppel in that context was very strange. And then I went and looked up Ted Koppel's quote, because I hadn't seen it, because, of course, the fire hose of news.
Right.
And when I said, when I read the quote and watched the video, Ted, bad Ted. Ted, you're being bad. Ted, off. I'm treating Ted Koppel like a dog now. Okay, so that's coming up on our post-mortem show. If you want to support our podcast, go to bobseskashow.com. That'll take you to our Patreon page, where you can sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month. And because of your support, we will give you all kinds of additional bonus content, including our post-mortem show, including an ultimate edition of this show without commercials, with the post-mortem show included in one big listenable chunk. A big chunk of podcast is what you're going to get for the ultimate edition. And you also get the after party on Fridays, which is me and Kimberly Johnson talking about literally everything. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, politics, every point in between. And by the way, if you want to listen to Buzz Burbank News and Comment, go to buzzburbank.com, also realmnetwork.com. And by all means, my God, support the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Links to come. I'll provide a link in the description below, at least to the temporary page, so you'll get that. All right, that's it. We'll see you on the post-mortem show. Take care. Bye-bye.